So Bosai, in order to appreciate this Tosus here on Daf Heyom and Aleph, Dibra Maskil also, let's just review what we know. A Yoledes is required to bring a Chatos and an Ola in that sequence. And during her lifetime, after Leda, she brought a Karbon Ola, which means she reversed the Seder. Then she died. And the Mishnah quoted here on Daf Hey in Kinim says that she cannot, her Yorshim cannot bring a Chatos. Tosus is Medayik that the reason why they cannot bring the Chatos is because she died. The implication is, Mashma, Aval im Haisa Yechol, if she were alive and well, Lahavi Chatosa, Acher Olosa, then also Lo Olosa L'Shem Ola, that her Ola would be an Ola Kshera. So 2 days ago, we had a long discussion about this Tosus in comparison to the Ritva. I'll just review very quickly, because that's not our subject today. And the Chakira that we were operating with is, how does Kedima work? Does Kedima mean that I can't do B until I do A? Or does it mean that if I insult A by not bringing it first, then A is problematic because I brought B before A? So is it that I didn't do A and then I went ahead and did B without A? Or is it that I didn't do A before B? In other words, is the problem here of the Oledis that she brought the Ola first, and the Ola needs what? The Chatos. Or is the problem that the Chatos has to come first, and the Ola came second, and that's a Chatos problem? So again, our shiur of 2 days ago revolved around reading this Tosus carefully and comparing it to the Ritva, and the Ritva seems to assume that the problem is the Chatos. Meaning when there's a din of Kedima, Chatos has to come first. And if the Chatos didn't come first, then bring the Chatos. Tosus, on the other hand, understood, and we brought a riot to Tosus from his sugya in Menachos, that when you have a din of Kedima, Kedima means don't do the second one, in this case the Ola, before you brought the Chatos. And the problem is the Ola. So Tosus says, from our sugya here, it seems that even though she had not brought the Chatos, she instead brought the Ola. The Ola is fine. She just has to bring the Chatos afterwards. And he says that you could support that with a Toras Kohen. V'chei mashma b'Toras Kohenim. V'parshas isha ki tazria. Now, what happens in the Toras Kohen? So let's just see if we can figure this out. It says Isha ki tazria. Im evia olosa tchila, the lashon of the Toras Kohanim is tavi chatosa. It sounds that she has to bring the chatos, although the ola was fine. How do I know the Toras Kohanim is maintaining that the ola is fine? Because of the next word, it says mimin olosa. So if she had brought the ola from, let's say, Torim, then the Chatos will be brought from Torah. Otherwise that would undermine the carbon. It means that the Ola is valid and therefore determines it, so to speak, engraves in stone which min. And he says, V'tema, how do we justify that the Ola is an Ola Kshera even though she brought it before the Chatos in light of the Sugya in Psachim? To be paired to mit nishchat amrinon ze binyan av shekol chatos kol mostly ola liolo liolos, which means that whenever you have a series of two karbanos that require that the, in this case, the chatos has to come before the ola, it also understood that the ola without the chatos preceding it is psula. Where Tosus see in the Gemara in Psachim that the Ola is completely invalid because she or he didn't bring the Chatos first? Because the Gemara says over there, Vafilu Chatos Ha'of, I'm going to add one word here, Kodemes Li Olas Behema. So you have two Karbanos, and one is a Chatos, the other is an Ola. And you would have thought that maybe in this case the Ola gets precedence because it's a behema, whereas the Chattas is a Chattas Oof. In general, in Zvachim, behema comes before Oof, which is a Mishnah later on in Masechta Zvachim. And the Gemara says, Afilu b'di'evet, which means if he was marked in the Ola before the Chattas, Ka'amai d'apostle. And the Gemara assumes that the Ola, if it was brought before the Chattas, is Psula. And how do I know this? Because the Gemara there in Masechta Psachim is addressing the case of Mitzora. The Mitzora has to bring, again, we'll get to the Asham Mitzora in just a minute, but he has to bring a Chattas and an Ola in that sequence. And the Gemara says, if he brought the Ola first, then b'di'evet, the Ola is Ksherim. So how does Tosa see in that Gemara? Adarabha, the Gemara seems to assume that if the Ola came first, then she switched, and the order was switched around, the Ola is Ksheira. And the Gemara says, Shani Olas Mitzora, Dirachmona Omar, Vehela. So the Pasuk says, Vehela es Hakoin es Ola. And the Gemara there, Psachim says, Mashma, Shehela Kvar. That means that she went, the Mitzora went ahead and brought the Ola before the Chattas, and based on Yalfuso, the Gemara establishes that the Ola, despite the fact that it was brought out of order, is Kshera. So Tosa says that that's only a din in Mitzora, because by virtue of the special Xeris HaKosma new Yalfuso that teaches me that in the case of Mitzora, even though he went and he brought the Ola before the Chattas, it is Kshera. But that's the exception to the rule rather than the rule. Vahainu b'di'evet. In other words, even though the Chatchil of the Torah explicitly requires that the Mitzora bring the Chattas before the Ola, Kiksiv, as the Pasuk says, Behejim b'kra, because it says, V'achar yishchat es ha'ola, after the Shchitas ha'chatos, then the Mitzora brings what? The Karban Ola. Nevertheless, in this case, when he switched the order around and he brought the Ola first, it's Ksher. And that's based on a special Gzeres HaKos of Shema Minah. We see that in general, B'alma, Afilu B'di'evet, Lo Mahani, the Karban is possible. Here, in our Sugya, we came to the opposite. Where did it fall between the Kevish and the Mizbeah? Okay.
It's
question. So, right? It's a question of Avir. Okay. So again, just to reiterate, this is where we stopped on Monday. We see a stira between two sugyas. In our sugya, in the case of Yoledes, who brought the Ola first, and then the Chattas, the Ola is Kshera. In the case of Mitzora and the sugya in Psachim, we get the impression that the Mitzora is the exception to the rule. And in the case of Mitzora, when he brought the Ola first, the Ola is Kshera, based on a Pasuk Vehelo Kvar. But as a general universal rule, whenever the Torah requires a Seder, the Seder is Mi'akev. And if not for the special Gzeres HaKosuv, what would have been the status, can you help me out here, what would have been the status of the Ola if he brought the Ola before the Chattas? It would be possible. Here we have a special Pasuk. So Tosa says, Mashma de Bialma, as a general universal rule, Afilu b'di'evet lo. If you brought the Ola first, the Ola is absolutely psula. It means that Seder is likuv. And again, this is all Tosas l'shitaso against the Ritva that we discussed. That Tosas holds that when the Torah says bring A first and B second, then B desperately needs what? Needs A. Right. And if you switch around the order, then B itself is going to be possible. The only exception to the rule, says Tosas, is the case of Mitzora, where if the Mitzora brings the Ola before the Chattas, the Ola is Kshera. But in the case of Chattas Yoledes, we have no Gzeres HaKosuv, then logically there's no reason that we should assume that Chattas Yoledes should be the exception to the rule. And if we apply the general rule, then she has to bring the Chattas first. Why does that Gemara say, based on the Mishnah in Kinim, that the Ola, even if it was brought before the Chattas, is Kshera? So now we get to Reb Chaim. That's where we left on Monday. Again, I always emphasize, you got to get the right Reb Chaim here. This is the Reb Chaim in Tosus. He's not so frequently quoted in Shas. In Zvachim, he's pretty popular. I mean, he must have spent a lot of time on Kodshim. Do you remember Reb Chaim at the end of Ksubis? The reason you forgot Reb Chaim at the end of Ksuvus is because you all made Aliyah in Eretz Yisrael, or at least partial Aliyah. Some here, people are here full time, some part time. Because Reb Chaim says that there's no mitzvah of Aliyah in our time. Why? Because we need the mitzvah Sakhlius Baretz, and we can't be Makai the mitzvah Sakhlius Baretz. That might have changed, by the way, since Reb Chaim's time, because now they say most of the Jews on the earth are here in Eretz Yisrael, which is called Rav Yoshvel. That might change things as far as Chubas and Maisus is concerned. But in certain cases, you need Korah.
But you can't get there unless you start coming. You know, it has to start somewhere.
But there's no obligation to come according to Reb Chaim. So you heard of the Avnei Nezer, the Tzokach of Rebbe? You know, Sakach and Ger are kind of like two sides of the same coin. They're all part of like one chassidus, basically. There's no separate Sakach today. It's all swallowed up by Ger. And the Ger chassidim are heavy, heavy into Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. In Baruch Park, there's a Ger Ashtim, but even that's dwindling, you know. Almost all the Ger chassidim are here in Israel. And they're not all in Yerushalayim, because the Rebbe didn't allow that. He said, you gotta move out to Arad.
Arad?
So the Sakach of the Avnei Nezer says that Reb Chaim at the end of Ksuvus doesn't exist. It was written by some Talmud Torah, and somehow it crept into the printed shas. That's always a good idea. If you don't like what a Rishon says, just say it was written by a Talmud Torah. Alright, so the Tirits of Reb Chaim.
Which Tosfos is this?
Oh, this is Ha'ola. Correct? Olasa, excuse me. So it's Olasa.
This is where?
On Daf Hey. I'm sorry, you missed the old, you know.
Okay, there it is.
You missed the opening line here. Sorry. Which I think is on the first line of the Aaron Kovas page, but the only thing is I made a big boo-boo today, and I came here at some ungodly hour, and I can tell you when to create this page for you, but I left it photocopied. So I ran out, I had an appointment. The Tirits of Reb Chaim. In other words, the universal rule is that if the Ola was mistakenly brought before the Chatos, the Kosher b'dieved. In other words, we thought that the Pasuk of Vehela, Shehela Kfar, which is the Yalfusa in Mitzorah, is necessary because the case of Mitzorah where Masha the Ola first is the exception to the rule. No! The case of the Mitzorah is not the exception to the rule, says Reb Chaim, but rather the rule. So whenever the Torah says bring A before B, and you went ahead and you brought B first, B is kosher. No! Ask yourself the kasha, then why does the Gemara need what? The Pasuk in Mitzorah, if this is a universal rule that that Seder is only l'chatchila, it's a very nice idea, but it's not l'ikuva. The hard to buy krab in Mitzorah, that's the counter, another Pasuk. Why? Because in the Parsha of Mitzorah, it says Tiyah. Now the word Tiyah in all of the Torah, but especially in Kachim, is a code word for be very careful to do it the right way. B'haviyasa Tiyah, in other words, the way the Torah requires it. You have to fulfill the requirements of the Torah. And we would have thought, says Reb Chaim, that if we only had the Pasuk of Vizos Tiyah in the case of Mitzorah, Zos Tiyah, Torah, and Mitzorah, we would have assumed that it's absolutely critical to bring the Karbonis of the Mitzorah in a special set order, a sequence. And if you undermine that sequence, the Karbon is possible because it's missing Vitiya, Zostiya, which is critical. Critical meaning to do the Seder right. And he quotes the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Menachos, and the Gemara says that based on Vizostiya, we derive the conclusion that if the Mitzorah didn't bring the Asham on time, the Asham has to be the first of his Karbonos, then it's possible. So we do see that Vizostiya sets up a halacha of Avayasotiya. But, says Reb Chaim, in the case of Ola versus Chatos, and the Mitzorah brought the Ola before the Chatos, which is a violation of Zos Tiyah, Bavayoso Yehei, the carbon is still kosher. And that, in truth, is the universal principle that applies to any Seder Karbonos. That the evidence, if you messed up on the Seder, it's kosher. However, The reason why I justify especially Alfus in the case of Mitzora is because otherwise, applying the principle of Avayasotia, I would have assumed that the Ola is Psula because he didn't bring the Chatus first. Kamash Molan, Helokvar, that the Karban Ola is Kosher. And Enochinami, once I knock off Zostia, again, you can't leave out Zostia because we need that for other dinim. You know, it would have been nice if the Torah wouldn't have said Zostia, so I wouldn't have needed the Pasuk Vahela, but we need Zostia for other dinim. And therefore, Mitzora, at the end of the day, after all the the arrows fall into their right place, is going to be an example, a paradigmic example of what applies to all Seder HaKarbonos. Whenever there's a Seder HaKrova, it's not Likuva, it's only Lechatchila. And if you brought the second one before the first one, the second one is now Kosher, and that's going to be the Mishnah in Kinim as far as Olas Hayoledes is concerned. Even though she was meant to bring the Chatas Hayoledes before the Olas Hayoledes, the Ola is Kshera, because that's the universal rule. But Tosus says Venira li, and Tosus rejects Reb Chaim. He says no. The Alfinon Chatos Viola Shel Yoledes Mi Chatos Viola Shel Mitzor. It works like this. According to Shitas HaTosus, the universal rule is that Seder is Ma'akev, and if you brought B before A, B is possible. The exception, and then we're going to add in parentheses an S at the end of that word, the exception to the rule is going to be the Mitzorah. Why? Because in the Mitzorah we have a drasha, a Yalfusa, that teaches me that the Ola is Kshera even though the Mitzorah brought the Ola before the Chatos. So that violates the general rule. Now what we're going to do is we're going to make another step, and we're going to add another exception to the rule. Not only is the exception in the case of Mitzora, but also in the case of Yoledes. And that's what Tosus says, Yalfinon, if you underline that word, Yalfinon Yoledes mi Mitzora. That just like in Mitzora, he has a requirement of Chatos, and then Ola, if he switches it around, the Ola is Kshera. So too, in Yoledes, she has a requirement of Chatos first, and then Ola second. If she messed up the Seder, the Ola is Kshera. And the case of Mitzora, which is the exception to the rule, and now we're going to add and attach Yoledes to the exception to the rule, is derived from a special pasuk, Vehela. And that's what the Gemara means in Tamid Mishchat. The Ilav Kra de Vehela, de Machshir, Hay Apostle, and then he adds Bechol Makom. What does he mean by Bechol Makom?
Except for.
Bechol Makom means that's the universal rule. Apostle is going to be the exact opposite of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim thought the universal rule is Kosher. It was a Havamina in the case of a Tia, Zos Tia, Torah, Hamitzora, that would be the exception. So I need the Hela to neutralize the rule. I'm sorry, to neutralize the exception to the rule and put it back into the rule. But the general rule is kosher. You know what I mean by kosher, if you messed up the same. The Tosfos Veli Nireh has the opposite position, that the universal rule is possible. Bad news. You messed up the say there, and the carbon is possible. And we mentioned once a discussion about a different aspect of Mitzorah, which is Hazah plus Matan Bahonos. And we said there too, if he did the Matan Bahonos before the Hazah, he's going to have to redo the Matan Bahonos. Why? Because Matan Bahonos critically need the Hazah Sadam. Why? Because once there's a Seder, then the Seder is Likuva. However, we have an exception to the rule, and then add an S at the end of the word exception. We have two exceptions to the rule. The primary exception to the rule is going to be Mitzora. So he brought the Ola first, it's Kosher. But that's derived from a special Pasuk Vehela to take it out of the bag of Bechol Makom, of the universal rule that Seder is Miyake. And now Tosus says we can make a jump and we can equate Yoledes with what?
With Mitzora.
If we equate Yoledes with Mitzora, we're going to have to see the mechanics of how that works, then we come to the conclusion that Yoledes is also an exception to the rule, which means that in the case of Yoledes, the Ola is Kshera. So again, if you ask Rabbi Chaim why the Ola is Kshera in the case of Yoledes, you'll get one answer. If you ask the Mali Nira why the Ola is Kshera in the case of Yoledes, you get a whole different answer. If you can ask Rabbi Chaim, let's address the question to Rabbi Chaim, why is the Ola Kshera in the case of Yoledes? You brought the Ola before the Chatas. The answer is because that's a reflection of the general rule that whenever you mess up on the Seder, it's kosher. You'll ask me why in the case of Mitzorah you needed a pasuk for that? Okay, I have an answer for those to you. Ask the same question to Mali Nira, to the Bali Atosus, the anonymous Bali Atosus. Why is the Ola Kshera in the case of Yoledes? The answer is that's an exception to the rule and it's derived from Olas Mitzorah with some sort of a hekesh between Mitzorah and Yoledes. Oh. Now Tosus says the following. Why is this true? You know, after all, Reb Chaim's position is a lot more comfortable than when the Torah says Seder. It's a nice embellishment. It's a good thing for the Jews, but it's not catastrophic. So he messed up on the Seder. By the way, one of the most lumpish topics is Leil Pesach. You know, if he ate the matzah after he ate the maror, you know, if he drank the wine at the end of the Seder instead of at the beginning of the Seder, you know, you could write a whole book, fill up a whole madaf here in the library on what happens if you messed up the Seder on Leil Pesach. And on Yom HaKippurim, if you're learning the Avodas Hayom, half of the Masechta, you have to learn in order to figure out what happens if you brought the pyre before the Seder after the pyre, and so forth and so on. But Reb Chaim says, those are exceptions to the rule. The general rule is that Seder is a nice thing. Tosa says the opposite. No, V'li Nira, that Seder is absolute kufa. The Torah has to go out of its way to set up an exception and allow you, b'di'eved, to mess up on the Seder and be mashed in the carbon. But as general, possible. Why take such a position? Why should Seder be miyake? So at this point, Tosa invokes a sugya called Mechusar Zman. Okay. What's Mechusar Zman? So again, the general case of Mechusar Zman would be as far as the age of the animal that you want to bring as a karmon. But Tosfos takes it way, way beyond those limitations. And he bases himself on a sugya Menachas Daf Hei. And I believe I mentioned that sugya on the page. It says Tosfos, Hayaposil b'chol makom. If, in the absence of the drasha in Mitzorah of Vehela, the carbon would be possible because the oil was brought first, prematurely, the reason for that would be, and that's the universal rule, mitam diyesh mechusar zman lebo bayom. What does this mean, yesh mechusar zman lebo bayom? Normally, if you have a seder that takes you from one day to the other, and you messed up, so you brought the second carbon one day prematurely, that's considered mechusar zman. But what happens if you have two carbonists that belong to a seder, and you brought, and they both could be brought bezechers immediately without any time difference, so there's no set time for either of the karbanos, just that there's a din of seder. So you and I would have said that in such a case, it's a question of seder. So he messed up on the seder. So let's go with Reb Chaim. Okay, he messed up on the seder. But that's not critical. No. Tosa says when there's a seder akrova, there's a brand new halacha, a new variable that steps up to the plate. And that is Mechusar Zman. When the Torah says bring Chatos before Ola, it means that the Zman of the Ola is only after you've brought the Chatos. In other words, until you bring the Chatos, don't talk to me about Zman Ola. There's no Zman Ola. Again, the exception is going to be, number one, the Mitzorah case, and number two, the Yoledes case. But we're now dealing with the universal B'chol Makom principle. And in B'chol Makom, the Torah sets up a sequence, and we'll see how this applies in many cases. Tosfos says, if you brought B before A, basically it's Mechusar Zman. And if something is mechusas man, its time is not arrived yet, then it's possible the carbon is meaningless. So again, you and I would have said, look, this is the day for that krava, not only of A, but of B. This is the day to bring the olah. There's no mechusas man here. The Tosfos has a gevaldig chiddush here. That's called mechusas man. I break up the day into parts, and again, those parts are not connected to what? To moments on the clock. Those parts are connected to a Seder HaKrova. And if you haven't brought the Chatos before the Ola, then as far as we're concerned, the time hasn't arisen yet for the Carbon Ola. And this is a pretty radical breakthrough here, that the reason why bringing the Ola before the Chatos as a general rule is going to passel the Ola is because of the principle of Mechusa's man. He was makriv the Ola before its man. And he says, Omar HaKosuv lahakriv hachatos kodem li'ola, is therefore filu bi'alma. I don't need, as Reb Chaim would say, the Pasuk Tia to tell me that it has to be in its time, in its sequence. Mashma likuv. It would have to be likuv. Why? Because when the Torah says that the Zman HaOla is after you brought the Chatos, the Torah is telling me that it's the Ola is Mechusa's Zman. So we don't have to introduce the Tia of Zos Toras HaMetzora. Actually, again, you can check me out on this. It's not really important for the Shia, but you know, I don't want to misquote something, but I think the Pasuk Zos Toras is in the Parsha Nozir. Zos Toras HaNozir. But in any event, in Nozir, I don't need, says Tosfos, the Zos Toras HaNozir and the Pasuk Tia to tell me that it's got to be in that sequence. And the Nozir has a whole bunch of karbonos he has to bring when he finishes his Nazirus. Forget about the Seder. I don't have to introduce the halach of Seder. All I need to know is that since the Torah says bring the Olah after the Chatos, then right away I derive the conclusion, says Tosfos, based on Svara, that the Zman HaOla hasn't yet come about yet, so it's Mechusa Zman. And if he brought the Ola before he brought the Chatos, then it's possible. And that's the general requirement of Seder. That's not based on Seder so much, it's that the Seder is a Gili Milsa, a Svara, that's Mechusa Zman. So don't tell me that the reason why the Seder is so important is because of Tia. Even without the Tia, we're going to use the Tia for other things, but the word for Tia is not going to set up this halacha of Seder Likuva. The Seder Likuva is Likuva for a different reason. And that's because of the halacha of Mechusa's Zman. Where does Tosfos get this from? And the answer is going to be what's called Asham Mitzorah. Because the Pasuk of Vehela is limited to the Ola. And if Tosfos is postulating that bringing the Ola in the case of Mitzorah before the Chatos is the exception to the rule, that the Ola is Ksheira despite the fact that he undermines the Seder, that's the exception based on the word Vehela, that exception is limited to the relationship between two karbonos, not all three. Right? The Mitzorah has to bring three karbonos, the first of which is what? Is an Asham, and then he brings the Chatos and the Ola. With regard to the Chatos and the Ola, the Torah says Helo Kvar, meaning that even though he already brought the Ola, he can still bring the Chatos, and everything is hunky-dory, everything's fine. But the Gemara says in Menachos, if the Asham was brought late, it was brought out of sequence, then the Asham is possible. And the reason for that is because Mechusa's man. Teda, says Tos, I'll prove it to you. Desanyo beperikama de Menachos. The Gemara says at the beginning of Menachos, it's Adaf Hey, with regard to Mitzorah. Diem hikdim chatoso liashamo. He hasn't yet brought his Asham, and he's already bringing his Chatos. Lo yehei echad memaris domo. The carbon is not kosher. Ella berada teitzei lebeis hasreif, which means the carbon is posel. Because again, if you would be memaris the dam, which means you would still maintain the kashrus of the chatos, then mistakenly he would go ahead and be makriv the osham. And he would think that the Yoshim is fine. So they, what they did was they established that the Chatas is going to be Pasul in order to make sure that he brings the Yoshim before the Chatas. And if he brought the Chatas before the Yoshim, what's the status of that Chatas? Psul. Teitzei lebeis asreifa. And the Gemara there quotes Rav Papa, Ka'amar, Da'adu Nifsal, why is it possible? So you and I would have said, well, based on what we know from Chaim, it would be possible because the Pasuk says Tiyah. But that's not what the Gemara says. No. La Mishum Tiyah. The Gemara doesn't invoke the principle of Tiyah, Bavayaso Yiyah. Da'ha, because with regard to Tiyah, that has to do with other halachas and other aspects of the Avodah. And that has to do with Tara Samitzorah. The Lokoya Shchita Mishum Delav Avodahi Elam Itam. The Gemara says that the Psul is not because he was Makdim Vechatos, but because Yesh Mechus Zman Lebo Bayom. That by bringing the Chatos before the Yosham, he has brought a carbon that's possible. Why is it possible? Mechus Zman. Sha'omar Hakosuv lahakdim ashem tchila. We don't need tia here. Forget about tia. Tia has implications and limitations. It refers to tara. But as far as the kashrus hakarbanok is concerned, the Gemara says, forget about tia. It's a din that the ashem has to come first. Okay, the ashem has to come first. But the Gemara says, why should that pasul lechatos? And the Gemara says, because the chatos is considered mechus zman. The Yesh Mechus Zman Lebo Bayom. Is there a tam? Lama lo yeh gabi chatos v'ola bi'alma. So let's say the Torah says bi'alma in other cases, other than the two exceptions to the rule, that you have to bring the chatos first and the ola second. In such cases, if he brought the ola before the chatos, the ola has the status of what? Of Mechus Zman. And therefore the ola would be psula. Again, notwithstanding our two exceptions. So Tosfos says, "Lekach isuk vehela b'mitzor la'achshe." Now, in order to set up these exceptions, we need a new pasuk. V'gamrina minei bi'alma l'shar karbonos. Oh, now he wants to say that we can derive the conclusion even in what? In yoledes, and we can be machsh. Now, he gives himself an accolade. No, what's it called? A pat on the back? What's the word for that?
Accolade.
An accolade? And he says, Baruch. Do you have that in your text, the word Baruch at the end of the Tosfos?
Yes.
Interesting. Now, it could be that one of the Balei Tosfos was named Rabbeinu Baruch. I don't know. My oldest is Baruch. That's his name. But more likely, I think, the word Baruch here means that's a blessed pshat. And now we have to go back to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim assumes that the universal rule would be that the Seder is not Ma'akev, that if he brought the Ola before the Chatos, instead of the Chatos before the Ola is Ksheira. We had a Havamina that the exception to the rule might be Mitzora, because of the Pasuk Tiyah. And that's why we were compelled to introduce the Drasha of Behel. But wait a second. How could Reb Chaim maintain that halach, that position? That the Ola is an Ola Kshera even before the Chatos. Not again the way Tosfos says, because I derived that from Mitzora under the Drasha, the Gzeiros HaKos of Vehela, but under the Svara that Seder is not Ma'akev. So I can bring the Ola before the Chatos according to Reb Chaim. But the Gemara in Masechta Menachos contradicts Reb Chaim. The Gemara in Masechta Menachos says that if he brings the Chatos before the Ola, before the Asham, the Chatos is Psula. Totziyeno Yetzel Beis Hasreifa. And why is it possible? The Gemara says because of the principle of Mechus Zman. So it's fascinating. According to Reb Chaim, it comes out like this. Universally, if you bring the wrong carbon, meaning the second carbon first, you brought the Ola before the Chatos, it's Ksheira. Again, in some cases we may need a pasuk for that, but only to make sure that there's no exception to the rule. But we're going back to the general rule. The Gemara says that if the if the Metzora brought his Chatas before the Oshan, the Chatas is Psula. Oh, so that's because of Mechus Zman. But wait a second. If the Chatas was brought before the Oshan, the Chatas is Psula because of Mechus Zman, because when was he meant to bring the Chatas? After the Oshan. Are you with me, Rabos? Then why not apply Mechus Zman to the case of Ola and Chatos? You know, there's a weird thing going on over here. Rabosai, can I get your absolute? You may know what I'm about to say anyway, but for those who don't, just listen to me for 60 seconds, and you got the whole spiel. Reb Chaim is in the following boat. You know, his back is against the, what do we say, against the Kira Mizbeach, right? And he's saying on the one end that if you're talking about bringing the Ola before the Chatas, push it that the Ola, the Evan is Ksheira. And that was a simple Svara. The Gemara says, Mechus Zman, the Gemara is talking about Chatas and Osham. He brought the Chatas before the Osham. What is the difference over here? Why is it? And the Gemara again is not quoting Pesukim. The Gemara is saying that Chatas before Osham is the Chatas is Psula, because the Torah says bring the Asham. Reb Chaim holds that the universal principle is that if you messed up on the Seder, it's kosher and it's not likuva. There was a havmin of an exception, but we reject that exception based on a pasuk. But getting back to the rule itself, therefore the Ola, which was brought before the Chatas, is kshera. What happened to Mechus Zman? Is everybody with me? Now you have it. Because if you can apply the yardstick of Mechus Zman to tell me that the Chatos is not yet Zmana, because he has to bring the Oshem first, we have to logically apply that consistently to the case where he brought the Ola before the Chatos. When is the time for the Ola? After? Is anybody awake here? I don't hear any noise. So I'm beginning to think that I'm talking to the Kira Mizbeach. No. I mean to Kira Mizbeach, because Asher Galonu V'Galus, I will say to him, and will be Zocha to the Lecho V'Razvachim V'Razvachim Shedit Nudovim Al Kira
Mizbeach.
What was the Nisot? I left a few words out. Anyway, it says there, trust me, Al Kira Mizbeach. Right?
I thought you were saying you were acting dumb, and there was a dumb as it was Al Mizbeach.
Dom meaning Dom? You mean the notion Dom? And his name is Don? I mean, it gets really confusing. So we have now halacha that we're going to apply the principle of Mechus Zman to explain why the Chatas before the Osham in the case of Mitzor is possible. It's not yet the time for the Chatas until he brings the Osham. He hasn't brought the Osham. But we're not going to apply the principle of Mechus Zman in the case of the Ola that was brought before the Chatas. It's totally inconsistent. So on this, I was hoping, but I made a boo-boo today because I was a little fatracht to give you a photocopy of the brisket rub.
Couldn't find it.
I have it in Harno. So I'm going to just ask you to trust me, so to speak, that I'm not misquoting the brisket rub. The brisket rub quotes his father, Reb Chaim. Not Reb Chaim the Balatosis, but Reb Chaim Brisker to explain Reb Chaim the Balatosis. So we're all living very healthily with Chaim. And Reb Chaim says the following, and this is going to radically change our understanding of the Balatosis, Reb Chaim. He says Reb Chaim the Balatosis is on the same, belongs to the same camp as Bali Nira, that when there's a din of Seder, it's going to be Likuva. And why is that? Because Mechus Zman. And we've seen that and proven that from the Gemara Menachos, that if he brought the Chatos before the Osham, the Chatos is Psul. What Reb Chaim said, that as a general rule, if she brought or he brought the Ola before the Chatos, the Ola is Ksheira, that's a separate din in Ola. Why? Because Karban Ola is Babin and Dafa. Now listen to this radical Chiddush of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim wants to say that you can only apply the yardstick of Mechus Zman when it's impossible to bring that carbon at that moment in time. That means that the Gufa carbon would be possible if you brought it at that moment in time. You can't say that with regard to an Ola. You can never say with regard to an Ola that if I brought that Ola at that particular moment in time, the Ola by definition is possible. Because even if the Ola can't be Ola L'Shem Chova, so as what? As an Olas Mitzorah, an Olas Chova, it would still be Kasha on the Mizbeach, Petoris what? Petoris the double. Says Reb Chaim, that's why the Baal HaTosfos called Reb Chaim could on the one hand accept the principle that if you mess up the order in the case of Chatas and Asham, two korbanos which cannot come as what? Can never ever come as what? As the Dabba. There's no such thing as an Asham and over the Dabba. There's no such thing as a, you know, if you wanted to volunteer for a chatas, you'd have to be boiling erva, I don't know what. But again, if you did that, you're not yotzei with a chatas because you didn't amaze it, unless you're the Mekoshin Shetzim. But anyway, what we have here are two korbanos, which can only be brought as what? As a chiyuv. When does the chiyuv emerge with regard to the chatas in the case of Mitzorah? Only after what?
Asham.
After the Asham, as Don would pronounce it, the Asham. And therefore, if he brings the Chatas before the Asham, then the Chatas is Psula because of Mechus Zman. And why is it called Mechus Zman? Because at this point I'm telling you that the Karban is not Mischayev. There's no what hasn't emerged is what? Is the chiyuv. If there's no chiyuv, a guy decides, okay, I'm going to bring a chatas. What's the status of a chatas? You know, he woke up on one side of the bed, he says, you know what, today's a good day to bring a karma chatas. But he's not guilty of any chiyuv kareis, so there's no chatas, it's meaningless. Oh, if we are going to pasul the karma, you know, the gufa karma and fakrava, there's no kima krava over here, then we're going to say that since he brought the chatas before the asham, it's called mechus zman, and there's no such thing as a chatas before the asham, and now we can apply the principle of psul, and we're going to pass the karma. But not in the case of ola. He brought, or she brought the ola prematurely, and you're going to tell me the prematurity therefore sets up a psul in the karma. That's not so. Because in the worst case scenario, we have a fallback position with regard to the ola. And what's the fallback position in ola?
Nedava.
It becomes an ola's nedava. This is Reb Chaim's chiddush. Pretty radical, is it not? In other words, you know, Tosfos thinks he opened up a Gemara Menachos, and he's very comfortable that we see a universal, radical chiddush in the Gemara Menachos that mechus zman in the case of kedima. That if you didn't bring the karbanos in sequence, then you're stuck with mechus zman. Nein, says Reb Chaim. Why should it be mechus zman?
You can fulfill your obligation of an olas chiyuv and an olas nedava.
I think so, if I'm not mistaken. Again, for that we need the Brisker Rav, so I, you know, it's Chatosi Animazki Ayom. I just point the one day that I put aside the Brisker Rav, I didn't bring it. And I was hoping that I'd get to Yechiel, which I did. But they don't allow you to get access to the Brisker Rav. So what I want to do, if you have this page over here, do you see, after it says, Ayin Chidushe Maran Riz HaLevi Hilchas Avodas Yom HaKippurim, it says, Ayin Rambam, Perek Alf Mehilchus Mechusrei Kapara. Can I trouble somebody? Again, I don't want to impose on you, but again, it's been a very, very pressured day today. I took on a favor for someone to get me a Rambam Hilchus Mechusrei Kapara. I should know it by heart. I've seen this Rambam a number of times, but oh, Mitch has it on the table. I knew it. Can you read it to me? Perek Alf Halacha Hey. There's a lot of famous Rambams here at the beginning of Mechusrei Kapara. You're reading it? I didn't hear you.
Hayoledes eina mevia karbana biyom arbaim lezachar o biyom shminu shon lekevar. Ella. Ma'arevet Shimsha.
Oh, no, it's not on the 40th day, but rather on the 41st day. Go on.
Ma'arevet Shimsha via Karbana Lamachar. שיום ארבעים ואחד לזכר ויום שמונים ואחד לנקבה. והוא היום שנאמר בו ובמלוס ימי טהרה ובין עולבץ תביא. ואם הביא הקרבנה תוך ימי מלוס לא יצאס, אפילו הביאה על ולדס הראשונים בתוך ימי מלוס של ולד זה לא יצאו.
So this is the Rambam's formulation of Mechusa Zman. So now, the first case that the Rambam addresses is simple, and that is that she brought the Karban prematurely. Instead of waiting till day 41 or 81, she brought it within the Malos, within the 40, within the 80. And the Rambam says, in such a case, that's it. The Karban is possible. Mechusa Zman. That I understand. But then the Rambam has another case. This is a case of a woman who has multiple ledos, and she has to bring a carbon for each ledo. So let's say, for example, she brought the carbon for ledo 1, and she did not bring it for ledo 2. So the Rambam holds that since she has to bring a carbon for each ledo, then, if she brought the carbon for one, what's the like language of the Rambam again? One more time, the last push the last piece in the Rambam. Okay, that we did. But there's one more case at the end of the halacha there.
Oh.
So she had. You want to open that up if you don't want
to? Is this a case of multiple births or separated by years? Did she have twins, triplets? Is that what
it does? No, it matters not as far as I know. In other words, what happened was that she brought a carbon, which on the one hand is kosher, but it's only kosher vis-a-vis one particular leda, but it's mechusas man vis-a-vis another leda. In other words, if you separate the malos, so there's a malos for, let's say in Yechiel's case, if there were, you know, ladies over the course of years, but she didn't bring out carbonus yet. So the first carbon that she brought was within the time parameter, the correct time parameter for the first lady, but it was premature for the second lady. So the Rambam says that as far as the second lady is concerned, it's Mechusas Man. And therefore, she'll have to bring another carbon for the second labor, because each labor is mechayev its own carbon.
But he says she has to bring another even for the first.
And yeah, I don't have the Rambam in front of me, so it's I'm listening to Mitch, but can I borrow the Rambam again? You have the advantage over me that you have the Rambam in front of you. Let me just read it. What is it? Perek Alpha Locha Hey, we said. Oh, so Perek Alpha Locha Hey, he says the following. He says, in a via carbona, tokime melos, lo yatsasa, afila he via al velodos arishonim, bitokime melos, shel vlad zeh. Just let me see if I understand the language around, just one second. So what happens? A via al velodos arishonim. I think that's correct. I think the words for Vlad Zeh mean the last Vlad, if you follow in sequence.
Yeah.
So this moment that she brings the carbonos are perfect with regard to the earlier Ledos, but as far as this Leda is concerned, meaning the last Leda in the string, it's considered Toch Yimei Malos. So it's Toch Yidei Malos, Yimei Malos of this Vlad.
So Lo Yotzas for the Rishonim also, he said.
Ah, exactly.
It has to be, otherwise.
And that's what the Mishnah Melech wants to understand. Why is it that this Karban cannot be meaningful, at least Chach, for the first Vlados? And Ram seems to assume that since she has some sort of a chiyuv on all the Vlados at this particular moment in time, but she's within the Malos as far as the last Vlad is concerned, that it's considered mechusar zman even for the viability, if you will, of the carbon vis-a-vis the first ladles. Okay, so that's what we have here.
So he's
now on this Rambam, there's a brisker row.
So he's suggesting a movable.
The rival doesn't like it at all.
What? Did I do something wrong?
No, the rival doesn't like it at all. He's big table.
What does he call it? think it's a big shibush. Well, what does he say? Sometimes the rabbi gets
Okay,
I don't know which is right. Shibush or
Yeshua. My shnome.
Cases.
He doesn't like it.
No. The Kesef Mishnah also says you don't understand.
Yeah, see, but he has to bring.
So both say, let's
each birth. He has to bring a pair of birds. She has to bring. So she brought one pair, and it was going to cover several different births.
No, she has to bring a. In this case, she has to bring a separate carbon.
So she brought one proper for the first birth, but it was two. What's the connection to the second birth?
Okay. So Rabosa, again, I don't have the brisket rav, so let's see if we can get at least a secondary source for the brisket rav. Do you have the Nefesh Tova? Again, I'm going to tell you where it is in my... I'll tell you which os it's in, so therefore we won't get mixed up about the page number. And it's os Samach Gimel. Samach Gimel, 63. Oh, Samach Gimel, number 63. You'll tell me what page it's on. Here it's on page Samach Zion. But Samach Hes. Okay then? Okay. Okay, now let's see if we can isolate a particular paragraph here. Do you have a paragraph that starts Vehine Posak HaRamna? Yeah, everybody? Yeah, Vehine Posak HaRamna? Maybe that's on Samates already?
Samates.
Okay, Samates. Any Sfaradim here? No?
What's in it?
Samates. He says the following. Hine posak a Rambam, gavi mechusre kapora, dechols manch lo ikrivu chatosam, asurim lechol bekodshi. So a mechusre kapora, again, in the case of Mitzora, Nazir, and so forth, have to bring a whole series of korbanos. There's an ola, there's an osham, there's a chatos. Now, as far as achilas kodshim is concerned, meaning to clinch the the hechsher or the tara of the mechusa kapora for achilas, to allow achilas kodshim, only one of the three is critical. Which one is that? The chatos. So once she brought the chatos, she can already eat kodshim, even though she hasn't brought any of the other karbonos, or he hasn't brought any of the other karbonos in the case of mitzvah. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes a Torahs Kohen. And the Torahs Kohen says the following: Nimashma shenemar echod li olo v'echod l'chatos. V'kipra melamish akapora b'chatos. V'utahoro lechol b'zvach. Meaning she's considered already purified to eat. Or, again, I say she, but let's take the case of Mitzora. He can eat the kodshim, the zvachim. B'taro. As soon as what? As soon as the chatos is brought. Mikomakom. Eino memait ela ola de doron bi'almahi. B'eino makevis milechol kodshin aval osham shuma akiv kapora mehei tesu. In other words, how did the Rambam know to expand this halacha, which is derived in the Taras Kohanim from a pasuk, that the only carbon of the three that's ma'akev is the chatos, and once he brought the chatos, he's allowed to eat kodshim. Okay, I understand that ola is not ma'akev, because ola is lacking what element? Kapara, right? We've always said that ola is lacking in kapara. Ola is a very fascinating topic. Somebody must have written a book on ola, because carbon ola is the most chomer of all carbonos. It's kulei kolil. And yet, paradoxically, it doesn't shine a candle to the other korbanos like chatos v'yoshim, because it's not a mechaper. So there's a whole sugya, I don't remember which perek it's in, about, you know, what happens if two people are bringing a korban, one is bringing an ola, one's bringing a chatos. So the Gemara basically establishes that it depends. If you're talking before Shechita, then Chatos comes first. Why does Chatos get for dibs? Because it's a Mechaper. It's so critical. Oh, it's not a Mechaper. But then if you're talking about what's called Halas Ha'ivarim, right, so let's say, for example, you have a situation where there was a Shechita of two Korah, there were two Shechitos, right? There was a Shechita of an Ola and a Shechita of a Chatos, and now we're ready to put the Basar onto the Mizbeah for Haktara. In this case, we give precedence to the Ola, because an Ola is Kulo Kolil, it's completely burnt on the Mizbeah, and that gives it a special status. Here, with regard to Kapara, meaning Tara, we're going to put the Ola on a lower scale because it's absent is the element of Kapara. Now, the Kesef Mishnah asks, if you read the Taras Konim carefully, the Taras Konim explains that the Ola is not Likuva because it doesn't have the element of Kapara. It's not a Mechaper. Well, what should be the implications there as far as which Korbanos of the Mitzorah are critical in order to set up the Tara? The Rambam says only the Chatas is critical. Says the Kesef Mishnah, that shouldn't be true. What should also be critical? The Asham, because the Asham, no less than the Chatos, is a Korban HaMechaper. We're only downgrading the Ola because it's bereft of the element of what? Of Kapara. So he says, Hamal Asham, Shuma Akiv B'Kapara, Mehesa Tesi, Shane Ma'akiv Milechol Kachim. The Gemara says that what you need in order to allow the Mitzorah to be reinstated as far as Tara's eating Kachim is you need to achieve Kapara. But the Mitzorah cannot achieve Kapara with the Chatas alone. He needs both the Chatas and the Asha. Ubehecha Ria the Erechit, Shechatos of Ashamim Me'akvim. And the Kesef Mishnah is so impressed by this question that he wants to change the gears in the Rambam. So, John, if you have the Shini Nischos in the back of the Frankel edition, I'd be wondering if anyone takes out the word Asham for the Rambam. Right? Mitch, you have in your Girsa, you have the word Asham, right? In the Rambam that you... Oh, it's closed already? You have the word Asham in your Rambam?
It's not in Avodah, it's in Korbanos.
Yeah. Alright, never mind. That's not that critical. Hey, give me this because I'll need this in a minute anyway, so...
I have a copy of the Asham is in parentheses.
You have it with Asham in parentheses.
Well, wow. This is on Hebrew books. This is their wow. Scanned version. And right there.
I have a feeling that they're basing themselves on the Kesef Mishnah. I'm wondering. But what I'd love to see, you know, the Frankel edition of the Rambam has what we call Shinu Neschos, which is based on a tremendous amount of research with, I don't know, how many Kisvei Yad, how many manuscripts in the Rambam. Okay. Now, remember I mentioned to you the Mishnah Melech. Okay, he was way after the Kesef, well, probably a century after the Kesef Mishnah. And he writes the following. He says that the Rambam in Hilchos Nezirus writes explicitly that once the Nazir brings his Korban Chatos, again, the Nazir, like the Mitzorah, has to bring three Korbanos, Chatos, Asham, and Ola. And all we need, says the Rambam, is a Korban Asham. I'm sorry, is a Korban Chatos. So that both the Ola and the Asham are secondary and are not critical. And the Mishnah Melech asks the following question. What good does it do the Kesef Mishnah to take out the word Asham with regard to the Mitzorah in Hilchos Maaseh Korbanos? What's he going to do? In Hilchos Mechusei Kapara. What's he going to do with the Rambam in Hilchos Nezirus? Is he going to go ahead and take out the word Asham in Nezirus? You know, at some point, I think the enterprise becomes a galechta, you know, a joke. You know, you can't just say I have a difficulty in the Rambam and therefore change the gear side. If you're going to do that, what are you going to do with the Rambam in Nezirus? You know, at some point, you know, the evidence seems to be stacked in the direction that the Rambam holds a chatas as likuv, and that's it. So in the Brisker Rav on Mechusei Kapara, which I don't have, unfortunately, he says the following. I have another kasha. This is a beautiful kasha. He says, Yesh lahakshos. Hechim ishkachas lei di'osham einam ha'akiv. I can't even begin, he says, to imagine a hechitimtza, a scenario, where you can talk about the osham is not ma'akiv. It means he left out the osham. Well, if he left out the osham, the chatas is psula. So how are you telling me, well, you know what? I can do away with the osham. And I can achieve the goal of being mashu the carbon chatas alone. There's no such thing as a chatas without an osham.
But does he mean that he left it out, or he just put it in the osham after the chatas?
It doesn't matter, because we're holding now, based on the sugi benochus, if he hasn't brought the osham, the chatas is mechus zman, and it's mechus zman, it's not worth the paper it's written on. It's completely possible. So you're clarifying whether the ola is ma'akiv or not. Very nice chakira, but it's totally irrelevant. It has no practical ramifications, because you're talking about the Ola being absent. If the Ola is absent, then the Chatas is Psula. So forget about the Chatas being Psula because you need the Asham as well. Forget about needing the Asham. In other words, that the Asham is also Machapa. Let's talk about the framework of the Kesef Mishnah. You know, you need two Machapa, and one Machapa without the other. So you want to know, well, what Machapa do we need, and what Machapa do we not need? So the Rambam says that in the case of a Nazir, all he needs is the Chatos, he doesn't need the Asham, and the Ola, as far as what's critical is concerned, what are you talking about? Says the Mishnah, I don't understand how to translate the words of the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that the Oshem is not Likuv. What do you mean the Oshem is not Likuv? If he doesn't have the Oshem, he doesn't have the Chatos. Let me read it to you again. Yesh lahakshos od, heichim ishkachas lei di Oshem eino Likuvo, v'aposak ha-Rambam, mi-perik hei, mi-ilchos, mi-chusri kapar locha gimel. Right, that's two prokim later in Ilchos mi-chusri kapar, no, the four prokim later. Shem hikdim chatoso liashomo, teitzel beis asrein for the chatos is completely psula. V'im keli olam ha'oshem ma'akiv. Again, not that it's ma'akiv because of the case of Mishnah's logic. The compelling need for a kapara and the oshem is buddies up, partners with the chatos creator. But forget about all that. I need the oshem as an absolute requirement, because otherwise the chatas itself is psula. And why is that so? Because the Torah requires bringing the osham before the chatas. V'imkeli olam ha'osham ma'akev, but not because of the logic of the Kesef Mishnah, the osham is ma'akev as a machaber, but mishum din kedima. And the Rambam himself is committed to this din kedima because the Gemara is committed to the din of kedima. In what case, Rabbi Ose, in Kedim of which two Karbonos? Get this right, Chatas and Osham. The adding Chatas, again, Rabbi Ose, remember we saw the Sugi Benoch. So Sugi Benoch says the Chatas and Osham means that without bringing the Osham, the Chatas is meaningless. Teitzei lebeis hasreif, for the Rambam codifies that in Perkei, Milchus Mechus, Perkimel, Milchus Mechus. What was it, Perkimel? Perkei Alach Gimel of Mechusri Kapara. And we can't fault the Rambam for that, because that's the Gemara is outspoken about that in the Sefer Menachem. The Memela, what does the Rambam mean when he's saying that if he brought the Chatos, then that's enough to clinch the Mechaper, and it's not Ma'akev, even though he didn't bring the Ola and the Osham? How could that be possible if he didn't bring the Osham? We're tempted here to pull another case of Mishnah move and drop the word Osham, but for a whole different reason.
No, don't do that.
No, I'm not going to do that. Don't accuse me of doing that. I don't like to play with yourself. Yeah, I've seen too many shiurim from the Rav where he tries to explain every single year.
But when you have a triple problem, because the Ola is also in the wrong place. The Ola is in the wrong place here now too. So if the Ola is in the wrong place, and then you cannot talk about the Hashem being the first to respond, because there's no Hashem yet because of the problem that the Ola did, because the Ola came first.
Again, the Seder is Hashem.
Chatos.
Chatos and Ola. He went ahead and he brought the Chatos.
He brought the Ola first.
No, that's not the Rambam's case. The Rambam's case is he brought the Chatos. Again, there are other cases where he brought them, but this particular Rambam, in Perek Yud Milchus Nazir, Salok Ches, he went ahead and he brought the Chatos.
The only problem was
Mishka. Yeah, and he left out both the Ola and the Asham. And the Rambam says explicitly that Eim Ma'akvim, and he says it in plural. You know, if you want to play the Girsa, you're in trouble here, because it says Eim Ma'akvim. Do you have that, Rambam Hilchos Nazir?
Well, I can get it.
Well, you also.
I mean, you might say it, but you don't have it. I can get you another.
Okay, get up the Rambam if you don't mind. So let's assume that this quote is accurate. Yeah, Ben?
Just thinking of a variable here, that there's this a certain shape where the clock has started and where the clock has not yet started. I mean, depending on the scenario, the clock of when it's Mechusar's mind, if that clock has started or not, that depends on the sequencing. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out a variable that helps us understand.
Correct. But one thing I can promise you, that if he hasn't brought the Asham in the case of a Nazir, and for that matter in the case of a Torah, the clock hasn't started ticking yet as far as Chatos.
And that's a more, you can be more makel in that sense of when it's
Mechusar. Right, so the Brisker Rabbi asks the following question. If the clock hasn't started ticking yet, and the Gemara and the Rambam both say that the Chatos without the Asham is Psula, Teitzel Beis HaSreifa, what does the Rambam mean when he says that the Ola and the Asham ain't on Ma'akvim? How can you say that? Okay, the Ola's not Ma'akvim, he never brought the Ola, so I want to know if he's allowed to eat Kodshim. Fine. That's meaningful. But what do you mean that the Asham is not Ma'akvim? He never brought the Asham? If he never brought the Asham, then how can the Chatos be meaningful? That's the Kasha of the Brisker Rav. Now, what I'm excited about is the creativity here of the Brisker Rav. In order to explain this Rambam, he goes back to our Rama before, and Perek Aleph Milchus Mechusar Kapar, of the Oledes, that had multiple births, and she brought many, you know, many karbanos and so forth, and so one Tolksmano, one during the Malos, one Liacha Malos, right. And he's going to analyze that whole sugya. Watch the creativity. Let's see if we can work this out. Okay, he says the following.
Okay, can I ask a question before you do that?
Yeah,
going back to what I think Joel asked. In the Rambam, if he brought the first one, if she brought the first one, Bezman, and the second one, Lo Bezman, the sequence is okay. So why are they both thrown out? I don't understand what the problem is. I don't know if that was your question.
With your lettuce?
Yeah, she brought the first one, and it was Bezman.
Hang on for 5 minutes. Let's see if we can get the facts on the ground. Again, I'm working with with one arm behind my back because I don't have the Brisker Rav. But let's see if from his summary of the Brisker Rav we can get something going. Isha sheyesh aleh heledos. Okay, she gave birth. What's it called?
Quintuplets.
Oh, I got that right.
Quintuplets.
Okay, quintuplets. No. Well, she had 5 ledos, one after the other. She hasn't yet brought up karbanos. Mevia karban echad, she brings one karban. Veocheles bizvachim. Okay, so sugi increases that fez. Vahashar olel chov. I remember sitting on the porch in my Maimonides in Boston, asking the Rav Akash on this sugya, because he was teaching krisus that summer. And the Rav said to me, Vizel Lush and Berzon, I think you'd be better off if you just listen. Don't ask any questions. You can imagine how I felt. You're not oriented in the sugya of your lettuce. That's what he told. And he couldn't have been more right. Okay. So now we have a situation where she brought one of the karbanos and she eats zvach. What does she do with the other ledos? She has to bring 4 other karbanos in this case, 5 ledos, but that's an albatross over her head, so to speak. It has nothing to do with the hechsher or the tara for eating zvachim. For eating zvachim, all she needs is what? One karbon. Okay? So again, you have a Tzvei Dinim over here. Here's a perfect example, if you're interested in Derech HaLivud of Tzvei Dinim, right? There's one din as far as Hechshar HaGavra is concerned, to be Matir Achilas Kodesh. There's another din as far as Chovas HaGavra is concerned. So the Torah very often may say that certain Karbonas are absolutely Likuva. In other words, they are what? They are critical. And without them, you cannot even achieve a Kapara. And there are other karbanos which are not critical as far as the kapara or as far as the tara is concerned, but the Torah required you to bring those karbanos. Okay. So the Gemara in Krisa says the following. Dilitfilos midamien la. We have an equation here between the karbanos and tvilos. Tvilos means that a tome has to go into what? Into the mikvah. And in regard to tfilos, we have a law that if a person was contracted many tumas on many different occasions, how many times did he have to dunk himself into the mikvah?
Once.
Only once. Could you imagine if the law would require for every time that you contaminated yourself a separate tefillah in the mikvah? That's not the deal. The tefillah achas olah l'kama tumas. So the Gemara makes the following analogy. Just like in the case of Tara, with regard to tefillah b'mikvah, where the critical moment or action to generate Tara is the tefillah, one tefillah suffices for all the tumos. So too in the case of a yoledes, who has contracted five different tumos for five different ledos, one karbon, which clinches her Tara, will suffice for all five ledos. So again, she still has a chiyuv for each leda to bring a karbon, but that's only a chovas gavra. That's not as far as the tara is concerned, because just like one tvila is ol chamesh tumas, so too one karbon is ol chamesh ledos. Oh, look at that! But I didn't remember. He can say dinim the karbonos. Okay, he doesn't say chovas gavra, but chovas havas akarbonis umdid b'fei atzme. So in other words, as far as hechsher is concerned, only one carbon is required. As far as chovas gavra is concerned, we need another four karbonis. Each labor generates its own chiyuv.
But those other chovas gavra do not require that everything be in order then.
Just give me one more minute to get the order. Here's where life gets a little complicated. He says the following. Let's set up the following case. Now, Rabosai, the reason why the Brisker Rav is at this point going to shift our paradigm from Yoledes to Mitzora and Mitzora Nazir, you know, those two form a unit, is because, keep in mind, the Rambam had a case where the Nazir or the Mitzora brought a Karban Chatos without an Asham. And the Rambam says that in such a case he's allowed to eat Kodshim. And the Brisker Rav says, I don't get it. If he didn't bring the Asham, then the Chatos is meaningless. How could the Rambam say that the Chatos is going to generate a Heksher to allow him to eat Kodshim?
Because it wasn't the first one.
Oh. So that's where we get to this case. What's the case? He says the following. The Mitzora brought an Asham. Okay? Now, watch what happens. A person could contract Tzaras multiple times. Every Tzaras, every nega, just for our purposes, for the purpose of the class, we can just call it a nega. And for each nega, he has to bring a separate karma. So when he had the first nega, he brought a karma asha. Then he was in contact with another nega. Okay? He hasn't yet brought his karma chat. Can he bring the Karban Chatas for the first Nega?
He already brought the Asha.
So he should be okay. But now he's chayav to bring a second Asha for the second Nega. And that Asha has to come before the Chatas. But on the other hand, the Chatas could be meaningful because of the first Asha, right? Meaning for the first Nega. So the Rambam says the following. Mevi karbon al kol echad v'yekod v'nimtza sheyeshkan chiyu beis chatos al beis tzaroso, meaning for both negoyim, But the Rambam then says that le'inyan achilas kodshim, karbon echad milvad machshiro. Here's a case where he hasn't brought a karbon oshem yet, and yet the chatas is going to permit him to eat kodshim. Why is the chatas going to be permit him to eat kodshim? Because the chatas is a chatas kshira. Why is the chatas kshira after he didn't bring an oshem for the second nega? But the answer is that chatas is a chatas kshira because of the first nega.
Right.
Once he brings the chatas for the first nega, he can already eat kodshim. But then you'll ask me the question, wait a minute, how could he eat kodshim? He hasn't yet brought the chatas for the second nega. And he can't bring the chatas for the second nega because he hasn't brought the oshem for the second nega. He only brought the oshem for the first nega. Now he goes ahead and he brings a chatas. Now wait a second, something is messed up over here. How can he bring the chatas when he hasn't brought the oshem, which he's obligated for the second nega? And not only that, how can the Rambam then go ahead and say that if he brought the chatos, he's allowed to eat kodshim? He hasn't yet brought the oshem.
As he said by
Yolanda. Says the Brisker Rav, that there are tzvei dinim in chatos nazir or chatos mitzora. There's one din to be machshir him, and there's another din of chiyuve gavra. As far as chiyuve gavra is concerned, every nega generates a chiyuv to bring a korban for each nega. But as far as the mechaper is concerned, all he needs is one chatos. When I say mechaper, I mean machshir is really the more appropriate word, which permits him to eat what? To eat kosher. For that, he only needs one chatos for multiple negoyim. Again, as long as he brings the chatos after the nega, right? You follow what I'm saying? You can't bring a chatos today and be machshir yourself for tomorrow's nega. But what he did here was he had multiple negoyim. He brought the oshem for the first nega. Now he's bringing a chatos. He hasn't yet brought the oshem, which he's obligated in for the other negoyim. But it doesn't matter. That chatos is a chatos kshera vis-a-vis what? The first nega. Says the Rambam, in such a case, the chatos is meaningful. But not only is it meaningful as a kosher karbon, which he gets by linking it up with the oshem that he already brought for the first nega, but moreover, even to be matir, to be machshir him vis-a-vis all the other negayim, this chatos is going to be machshir him for all the other negayim. He's chayav for each karbon, for each nega, a separate karbon. The answer is that's chovas gavra. But as far as mechaper is concerned, he just has to bring a karbon chatos. No, so we had a kasha. How can the rabbi say that the oshem is not ma'akev in the chatos of a mitzora? How can you say such a thing? What do you mean it's not ma'akev? The chatos is meaningless without what? Without the oshem. It's mechusas man. So how can the Rambam say that he's allowed to eat kodshim because he brought chatos? He didn't bring his oshem yet? Who cares? Oshem is not li'ikuva. How can there be such a case? Says the Brisker Rav, the case would be if he had multiple tzaras, he brought the oshem after what? After the first tzaras. He hasn't yet brought his chatos, but once he brings the oshem, before the chatos, he's already paved the way to bring what? To bring the chatos. Now you have a problem. Why? Because in the interim between the first oshem and the first chatos, if you follow what I mean, he encountered, or whatever the word is, you'll figure it out, many, many different tzaras, and he's chayav a karbon for each tzaras. Says the Brisker Rav, it's like the case of Yoledes that we spoke about. That even though the Yoledes has to bring a separate carbon for each one, she can eat kosher once she brings one of them, as long as that one carbon is kosher. And the rest, the balance of the ledos, only generates what? The chovas gavra. But as far as hesh is concerned, one carbon is enough. We can apply the same thing here. He brings a carbon chatos. This carbon chatos is kosher because he's already brought the asham for that chatos. The din of mechusas man cannot apply here because he already brought his oshem. All the other negayim are mechayiv their own; they generate their own chiyuvim. That's only a chovas gavra. One karbon is all that's necessary. Meaning, one karbon chatos is all that's necessary in order to generate a tar. Let's read it inside. He says, "Nimtza sheyesh kan chiyuv beis chatos al beis sarosav." For each matzaras, he has to bring a separate chatas. Correct? And for the second tzaras, in order to bring a chatas for the second tzaras, he needs what?
He needs
an osha. Correct? Because the chatas is only shared after an osha.
Right.
So as far as the second tzaras is concerned, there's no question that if he would bring a chatas before the osha, it's possible. However, there is one chatas that he could bring after the second tzaras, which would be a chatas kshera. I happen to be a chatas kshera. The answer is because he brought the osha on the first tzaras. So that sets up the kashrus, the heksher of the chatas. Is le'inyon achilas kodshim, is karban echad b'vad machshira. So again, what was the Eichat Tim to the Rambam that you could have a case where he brought his chatos and the osham is not li kuva? How could that be? You can't have a chatos without the osham. So we do all these somersaults in the air in order to come up with the Eichat Tim, so where the chatos could be kshera without the osham, only because as far as this tzaras is concerned, he has already brought his osham, but as far as the other tzaras is concerned, Nami, he didn't bring the osham. Lefizek shemakriv chatos al tzaraso harishon tzaras harishono shapir karva mitzgara ein karak doma as chatos liyoshi kevon she hachatos mikarbonis tzaras harishono kfar karivalov ashamma with a mapik hey, you know, it's the karvan oshim for that tzaras the afal piche nimtze shenak hachatos hekshirosa, because as far as the other tzaras are concerned, the only chatas that he has now is this one chatas. And nevertheless, the Rambam's mechadish, that chatas is sufficient. And the hakrovas ha'osham, he has to bring an osham as well, that's already the tzaras chova generated by the second tzaras. Is nafkamina sha'osham enema akev kaparos. Babosai, just an emotional comment here. Why do I get excited about this? I'm so inspired. The Brisker Rav asks a knockout question here. I mean, mamish knockout of the box. How could the Rambam possibly talk about being Machshir Mitzora, who brought a chatos without an osham, when the Rambam himself says that a chatos without being preempted by an osham is not worth the paper it's written on? It's completely so. If you had asked me this question, I would have said, change the gears. That's all. I'm not in favor of changing the gears, but I would have thrown it in the towel. It's just amazing to me how creative the Brisker Rav is, just to simply come up with one Heichat Timtza. It's like Reb Chaim once asked Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, father asking his son, what sugi are you thinking about? You know, it's like you ask your wife, what's on your mind? You ever ask your wife, what's on your mind? Pay for your thoughts, you remember that?
Very dangerous.
So Reb Chaim asked Reb Moshe, what are you thinking about? What sugi are you thinking about? So he says, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking about a sugi. So Reb Chaim got very upset. So a few years later, Reb Chaim asked Reb Moshe the same question, what are you thinking about? So Reb Moshe came up, and he was actually thinking about this, with a case of an Adragonus in a Chatzi Eben Chatzi Ben Chorin, who brought one carbon before the other carbon, and which carbon is kosher? And it involved 14 different variables. And Reb Chaim was very happy. But why do I tell you this story? Because there were Gedolei Yisrael that... It's amazing. They just walked the streets and they were thinking about, you know, variables that they created sometimes, you know, like a rabbit out of a hat. It's the beauty of Torah learning.
I mean, it's just can I ask a
basic question? Sorry, that was just an emotional interlude.
This goes along with what you're saying, but from a different perspective. So the Rambam, this shows my innocence or my naivety. The Rambam makes the statement without an explanation, and now the Brisker Rav is trying to come up with an explanation, trying to justify what the Rambam said.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word explanation, meaning what the Brisker Rav is challenging is where you come up with a case that's relevant here to the Rambam's discussion that the Rambam is not ma'ak.
But the Rambam must have known he's making a controversial statement. So why wouldn't he have explained it?
That means this is a different sukkah called Makom Yinichu Avoseinu Lizgadar Bo. The Rambam is the most fertile ground I think, again, I'm a little bit biased here because I'm a Talmud of the Soloveitchik family. It's an unbelievably fertile ground. You see, people think that the Rambam simplified learning, and it's just the opposite. By simplifying, he gave us so much room for creativity because he gives you all sorts of principles and he allows you to flesh it out. And you have to know everything to know anything in order to flesh out what the case is. The Rambam in his introduction writes, I'm going to give you the basic principles. And, you know, the Rambam got a lot of flack for this because in his introduction to the Mishneh Torah, he writes, you can skip from Torah Shebetzal, which means the 24 books of Tanakh, straight to the Mishneh Torah. Skipping all of Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Mechilta, Sifra, Sifri, etc. So the Rambam got a lot of flack for that. But what I would say about the Rambam is, just in terms of my limited experience, is that if you know Shas, and you know Sifra, Sifri, Mechilta, and then you read the Rambam, it's just amazing. And what I'm trying to do now in Hilchos Talmud Torah, you know, on Sundays and Mondays, is try to show you that the Rambam has to be understood within certain rules. There are definite rules of how to read the Rambam. And if you apply those rules and regulations, it's amazing how you can come up with such insights. It's not coincidental that the Rambam put Perek Aleph before Perek Beis. And it's not coincidental that the Rambam places Halacha Aleph before Halacha Beis. And if the Rambam adds an extra word, that's not coincidental. And my Rebbe, may rest in peace, knew the Rambam like the palm of his hand. He could jump from one Rambam here to another Rambam here and show you the similarities. It was striking. And he could derive conclusions from the fact that the Rambam chose one word over the other. My Rebbe's uncle, whose name was Krakowski, because he and Reb Moshe Soloveitchik married two Feinstein sisters, he wrote a book called The Avodas HaMelech. I try to take it out on Tisha B'Av, I'll tell you why. Because 13 out of 14 volumes went up in smoke in Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. Just read the one volume that survived the Holocaust. Mind-boggling. What this man had in the palm of his hand, not just the whole Rambam. You know, if I were to ask you, and I'm sorry for the batola here, but it's almost time for Mincha, so I'll answer. If I were to ask you, what did the Rambam have in his library? After all, the Rambam skips from Torah Shebetzal over to the Mishneh Torah. So one thing I can guarantee, he has Shas Bavli. I can tell you out of Yerushalmi, because more often than not, if you're troubled with the Rambam, go to the Yerushalmi, that's where you'll find the answer. I have no doubt the Rambam had a Mechilta in his library, he had a Sifri and a Sifra. What the Avodas HaMelech proves to you is that the man, Maimonides, had a mind-boggling library. And the Avodas HaMelech proves it's not based on history. He didn't study, you know, some sort of work in university about what did the Rambam's library of manuscripts, they didn't have any printed books in those days, what did it consist of? No, that's not what the Avodas HaMelech does. He'll take out, I've seen this, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, because that's why I did some research, it's one-fifth of the volume that survived the war. He'll take out a psikta zutrasa. I challenge, again, maybe I'm being a little facetious here, your pardon. Is there anyone here who learns psikta zutrasa? Is there anyone here who even ever opened up a psikta zutrasa? He'll take out a tana de be'eliyot. Some sort of wild medrash from Noah. He'll show you that the Rambam copies word for word the language of the psikta zutrasa. That's the Avodas HaMelech. And you're absolutely stunned. Because he proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Rambam had an amazing, outstanding manuscript, a library of manuscripts. And we think that the Rambam is limited to 5 or 6 sources. It's not so. The sky's the limit. And every single paragraph in the Avodas HaMelech, he comes up with another sefer and he proves to you, look, just read the two texts and you'll see what's going on. So the beauty of the Rambam is that he's not going to tell you that he got it from the Psikta Zutrasa. You know, you can fill up a library just on answering the following question: where did the Rambam get it from? and the Kesef Mishnah will tell you this, and the Mishnah will tell you that, and the Lecha Mishnah will tell you that, and it goes on and on and on, and there are endless number of Sfarim. The Bar Ilan project has now added, I think, another, I don't know how many hundreds of Sfarim just on the Rambam. Most of them are dealing with the question, where was the Rambam quoted? But some of those Sfarim will prove to you that if this was indeed the source of the Rambam, then we have a new insight, because the Rambam added a little bit, he embellished it. And again, I'm just using this case because we're covering it now. You know, the Rambam seems to say something that's impossible. There's no way you can have a chatas without an osham, because it's mechusar's man. And if we work hard enough, we'll come up with such a scenario where you could have, you know, multiple chiyuvim, and then you have to introduce the tzvei dinim, that there's one din as far as machaper and machshir is concerned, and another din as far as chofes gavra is concerned. And therefore you could have a case where the chatas is functioning on the two different capacities. On the one capacity, it's wonderful. Under the other capacity, it's completely meaningless. So the chatas is meaningful insofar as it links up with the osham that he started with this mitzvah for the first neged tzaraas, but it's meaningless as far as the other tzaraas. But it doesn't matter, because even though it's meaningless as far as the other tzaraas, there's another dimension to chatas, and that's as a machshir, and that could work as long as the carbon is kosher and it was brought after the neged. As far as the Chovetz Gavra is concerned, I mean, there's no significance to this chatos, and each nega is going to be mechayev its own carbon chatos. Now, we're going to stop for mincha. I just want to show you where I'd like to go with you, and the reason I take this extra moment is because I forget, which, when, and how. There's a beautiful piece here in the Nefesh Tova, number Samach Zayin, if you can just tell me what page it's on. And I'm very excited about this. And this might give us a whole new insight and perspective of Karmen Ol. As I told you, we could write a whole book on the Karmen Ol and all its unique features. What page is it on?
Ayin Gimel.
Ayin Gimel. Okay. I like my edition better because it's on Ayin Beis. Those are my initials, Ayin Beis. So, Rabosai, we'll get together, Mitzvah Shem. What is today? Today's Wednesday? On Monday. Is that correct? I have a great shift for tomorrow if anyone's free on Thursday. I know I have a lot of competition on Thursdays. But if anyone's around, on a totally different scene. Okay, then? Shkoyah. Thank you to everyone.
Come out and all those smart ones disappeared. It's different. It was different in 1929.
Right.
So
what happened was he made one major mistake. He was meant to send it to America. And only those machabrim who were smart enough to do such a thing, their sfarim survived. Like, for example, I don't know if you know this, the Dvar Avraham died in the ghetto of Varsha. He died before the Nazis killed him. He would have died a few days later, probably, anyway. He died of heartbreak. I mean, we can't even begin to imagine what the man saw every second of his waking life. I mean, there were people just dying in the streets. So he died of a heart attack. The only reason we have the Dvar Avraham today is because the man was smart enough, right before the outbreak of World War II, to send the manuscripts to America. And it's kind of like a fluke of history. Again, I call Tolly B'mazel, nothing to say for Torah Shveicha. But in the case of the Avodah Zarah, we didn't get so lucky.
Is it because
so when I mourn the Holocaust, it's a great book for me to open up to the Avodah Zarah, because I see the greatness of the book, and we only have one volume. There are 14. And so many books went up in smoke. The Nazis had a special pleasure to burn Jewish manuscripts. You know, we have a kinder for France, you know, where it was in Paris. Right, the year was 1290, you know, when the Yamach Shemol, St. Louis, that's your St. Louis, it's a city in America named after this Yamach Shemol. We have a kid on Tisha B'Av because he took out, I think it was 22 cartwheels of manuscripts. They all went up in smoke. And those were manuscripts that we could not possibly replace, including Rashi's writings on Masechet Nazir and Nedarim. The Paiton in the Kima, look for it.
I forget the name of the kinner right now, it'll come to me in a second. He writes, Mi yafli lanu nizirus in the dorm. Yafli means to take apart something. We can't take apart the dorm. Again, you have the Ran on the dorm. Great. But it doesn't shine a candle to Rashi. And we lost Rashi on the dorm in that fire in the year 1292. I'm just making up a year. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was in the 1200s. So that's why I call your city St. Louis Yimach Shemo. And by the way, the reason he was Zocha to sainthood is because of his anti-Semitism.
Of course. The bigger you are, the more saintly you are.
So, Rabbi, did I have a tape recorder here on the table? I don't know. I usually turn it on. Oh, yeah.